The Ambit Group is a service-disabled, veteran-owned small business. It lost about $1 million because of the government shutdown. Integrity Management Consulting is a small business working in the federal civilian and defense spaces. It lost about $300,000 because of the October work stoppage. Ambit and Integrity Management Consulting are just two of thousands of companies facing not just declines in revenues, but delays in contract awards and projects to help the agencies meet their missions and a slowed pipeline of solicitations coming out. And before you sarcastically say, woe is me, to the federal contractor, keep in mind the broader impact on agencies and how these vendors help you meet your mission and on the community as a whole, where restaurants, movie theaters, and dry cleaners and the like are part of this train. Mike Ettinger is the Senior Vice President for Public Sector for Tech America, an industry association.
If you look at the average, you know, government contractor has a profit margin of, let's say, 10%. If you look at a shutdown, it lasted just about 2 weeks, and you take that, that's about 4%. So if you're making 10% and you lose 4% of that revenue, and it's not a direct one-to-one comparison, you can see there's a significant impact that cuts into your profit. But things that I've heard from folks, and there are clearly lingering effects of the shutdown. We've seen, you know, tightening budgets. We've seen, you know, some continuing layoffs and not really a big increase in RFPs, though I think as we go into the latter half of the year, you know, things will start to free up a little bit. But there clearly are lingering effects of the shutdown on government contractors at this point.
Hettinger's calculations are buoyed by the numbers. Gavini, a data and market research firm, finds year-over-year spending in the first quarter of 2014 is down. Gavini says in October 2013 compared to October 2012, agencies spent almost $14 billion less on contracts. In November, $6 billion less, and in December, they spent more than $31 billion less on acquisitions. Now, not all this decrease can be attributed to the shutdown, but vendors anecdotally agree they saw fewer awards and fewer requests for proposals in early fiscal 2014. Bob Lohfeld is president of Lohfeld Consulting, which helps vendors win full and open contracts worth more than $50 million.
October produced only 14 RFPs that met our criteria for being greater than $50 million, and that is the lowest number of RFPs released by the government since we started counting back in 2011. So certainly a disastrous month. And what we saw when the government returned, I think a lot of them returned physically to their workstation, but not mentally, because November and December weren't a whole lot better, producing 21 and 24 RFPs respectively for those months. So we had a terrible quarter.
Lohfeld says typically his company sees about 30 RFPs per month worth more than $50 million. Even with the budget cuts and sequestration, he says these numbers for early 2014 were way down.
It's not completely clear that what we saw evaporate will actually come back, because some of the deals will just go away. The new programs that were planned, some of them will not happen. And I think others find different ways to get into the market instead of doing the full and open $50 million or greater procurement. They may find their way into task order contracts and maybe GSA schedule buys, so that they're finding other avenues to market that bypass the metrics that we're seeing.
And it's that loss of opportunities and the corresponding delays in awards that are the main causes for revenue losses and other lingering effects. Kim Hayes is the CEO of the Ambit Group.
You know, one of the things that most amazed me is folks said, oh, well, you had no real impact because they compensated the government workers. And I said, well, but not the contractors. It didn't work that way. We've kept our staff, and my business partner, John Condon, and I made several decisions to invest in our staff during the shutdown, including allowing people to use their leave, extending benefits, covering their cost. And that's some of obviously where our losses came in. It was, you know, it was a rough time, very, very rough time.
Hayes says Ambit couldn't hire new employees and had to, in some cases, almost double the hours of other employees who were working on contracts because hiring was so uncertain.
I was just speaking with someone who is a senior executive in the process of doing a job hunt right now, and he said to me, you know, hey, I didn't realize that the shutdown was going to have such long-term impact. I thought once we had a budget, we would see a release. And as I said to him, I said, no, you know, businesses are being much more conservative. They're holding back. We're not sure what this year could bring or next year could bring. So we're all holding those reserves back as much as possible.
Chris Romani is the president and CEO of Integrity Management Consulting. He echoes a lot of what Hayes says about the ripple effects on contractors.
We're seeing unprecedented award delays. And I don't know how much of that is, quite frankly, attributed to the shutdown, how much are part of that broader picture. Things that historically have been awarded in 90 days are on the market for 6 months. We have some things in source selection now for over a year. So we believe that the shutdown is a piece of the broader picture. And I say the biggest impact to our business as a result of the shutdown would be whatever the contribution was of those delayed award times.
At the same time, 45% of Integrity Management Consulting's billable work came to a halt because of the shutdown. Romani says it worked closely with its customers to redo project timelines after the shutdown ended.
We, quite frankly, surged some contracts and tried to provide additional support to keep on pace on some. On other contracts, we had to spend time with the customers and renegotiate deliverable due dates and that type of thing. On a 10-person project, we might have had to put one or two people of additional support on there to get it back on track, get the customer where they needed to be.
Steve Charles is the executive vice president of the Immix Group, a reseller mostly of IT products to the government. He says the product vendors didn't face too much of an overall impact in terms of contracts and awards, but Charles says there were other problems they faced because of the shutdown.
We had to increase the amount of credit capability in the company because, remember, we had just shipped hundreds of millions of dollars of stuff to the government, and then they shut down and were not able to receive it. And, of course, we don't get paid until it's received and accepted. And so what we had to do was make sure that we had the financial capability to pay our vendors for all that end-of-year spending that the government did but was not able to pay in the normal time frame.
Charles says the Immix Group spent more on interest payments than ever before. He says the Immix Group usually spends tens of thousands of dollars a year in interest, but last year it spent almost $1 million.
Our vendors need to get paid. They're publicly held corporations. They expect payment by a date certain. And the government shut down, left the government in somewhat of a disarray when they returned. And so it was a real scramble with everyone in the supply chain working to help even out this dysfunction. But, you know, every day costs money.
And because of that, Charles says the Immix Group saw their revenues increase, but by a lower amount than previous years. Now, vendors praise the two-year budget deal Congress agreed upon for its certainty that it brings to federal spending. Lohfeldt says the number of RFPs his company's tracking now is on the rise.
That January through March, deal flow is up 44% over the earlier quarter. So it's roaring back with enthusiasm. But when you look at that January, February, March, number of RFPs that played through, it turns out it's exactly the same number that we had a year earlier for that same period. So we've come back to what a lot of us are calling a new normal, where a year ago we were all complaining that the deal flow was really down, and now we're back to the same number, and we're celebrating it as a landslide victory that there's lots of deals out there.
And he says the third and fourth quarter are expected to be just as good or better in terms of the number of RFPs coming out. Integrity Management Consulting's Romani says he's putting more people and time into market research and business development to ensure his RFP pipeline remains filled. And Ambitz Hayes says there was a rush of task orders and RFPs soon after the shutdown. She says the company bid on about 30 different task orders during the late October to early November timeframe. Then she says there was a lull, and now procurements are starting to ramp back up, but with longer times to award. Hayes says the shutdown was one piece of a bigger chaotic puzzle vendors and agencies are facing today.
Which includes sequestration and includes the shutdown and also includes the attrition of the workforce and the 1102 workforce. It's the roundtable chair changing that's happening in a lot of our federal seats. And I think that we've seen a lot of drop in the strategic vision because there's been so many vacancies in leadership in a lot of the organizations. So I think you have a lot of programs moving on and people trying to do their job every day. And I think a lot of times that, you know, there's a lot of chaos, and that chaos is cascading into the procurements that we see.
All of that and more is part of a new normal agencies and vendors will have to learn to accept and work in over the next few years. In Washington, Jason Miller, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.